This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and those are goats. They are delightful creatures, and on top of that, they're the occasional subject of viral videos. And in the last few years, the centerpiece of what might seem at first like an unexpected combination. It's called, quite simply, goat yoga, and it's pretty much explained right there in that two-word phrase. People do yoga, the goats do what goats do. They play, they snuggle up, they go about their business. It's been around in one form or another at least since 2016, and places that specialize in goat yoga have been here in Illinois for almost as long. Blue Sky Farm in Sugar Grove in Kane County has been offering goat yoga since 2018, and tomorrow some of the goats will be around for a goat yoga event at the DeKalb Public Library. Ellen Ballou is co-owner of Blue Sky Farm. She joins us now to break down what makes goat yoga what it is. Ellen, good to be talking with you. Welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
I just realized I misread the script that producer Christine had written. I should have said, goat to be talking with you. Welcome to the 21st Show.
Oh my gosh, the puns never end, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, they write themselves. All right, it's yoga with goats. The name does kind of explain itself. I would imagine, though, you will say there's more to it than that. So take us through. What would a session of goat yoga actually look like? What would we experience?
Yeah, there absolutely is more to it. And I didn't realize this when I first started thinking like, oh, we'll just run this fad for a while and it'll burn itself out. And it didn't. This will be my seventh season. And I think the reason it doesn't, actually, I know the reason it doesn't, is it marries two really specific and joyful and relaxing things, which is yoga, as well as animal therapy. And so when you like merge those two together, something magical does happen. It's why it's hanging on and now is a legitimate form of fun, relaxation, as well as therapy. And when a goat yoga class happens, depending on the age of the goats and the mood of the goats, yoga happens. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm just here for the goats. I really am not here for the yoga. I just want to play with the goats. And I always say they will be surprised at how much yoga they get. If we didn't have the yoga and we were all sitting in a group begging for the goats' attention, they would likely turn their back on us because goats are animals that are naturally preyed upon. So they don't love when you want them too much. When you create the beautiful energy of yoga, during a class, you then let them feel safer, or I feel that that's what the major difference is. They feel safe and are like, oh, you're doing your thing, I can do my thing. And then they become a little more playful or cuddly because you're not wanting them too bad. And you're getting a great yoga practice in the meantime.
Yeah, they don't. It's interesting. They're sort of playing hard to get, maybe instinctually, evolutionarily, you're saying. And I guess that sort of gets at what makes this different from like a petting zoo experience, right? What do the goats do while people are doing yoga?
Yeah, I like to say it's the antithesis of a petting zoo. It depends. Sometimes, you know, everyone thinks goat yoga is just about goats jumping on them. And although that's your Facebook post, right? That's the one that everyone wants to see and everyone wants to get a picture of. Goats jumping on you is only a part of it. More often, it's watching them walk around you. It's watching them nibble on grass quietly. It's them deciding to lay on your mat with you while you do a child's pose and just cuddle up. It's watching them breathe. It's watching them just be themselves. And sometimes it's funny and they go racing through the crowd of people. And I've had them jump from back to back to back to back as if the ground was lava. And then I've had times where it's hot and it's a little bit too warm for everybody and they feel like we do and they just want to lay down in the shade of your body on your mat. And so it's different every time. I tell people when they come to yoga, the next time you come, it might be a different group of babies or they might be a different age, weather might be different, and the whole experience will be different.
Do you find, okay, I would guess every now and then the unexpected happens. You've just described that, right? Sometimes they're jumping around, sometimes they're laying on their mat. How do people react to these things?
Of various ways. Sometimes I've had people giggle the entire time, and it is such a fun experience, especially for adults that don't often catch themselves giggling nonstop. We will have people laughing and giggling. I can't tell you the amount of times I've heard seen people cry. They are connected emotionally, and they have this like cathartic moment that just they cry. Connecting, they often connect with each other, like, oh my gosh, can you believe this is happening to us? So, like, there's a ton of different ways that people react. But I could, my favorite saying is, you can't be grumpy around goats. So, that is one of the funniest things that happened, is people just laughed. The other thing is, people often use this time to celebrate with each other. People will come celebrating like a bachelorette party, or they're finished with chemotherapy. I've had some of the most amazing experience with people who are coming together to celebrate the end of, like, say, a chemotherapy treatment. And it's just so healing for the person and for the group. And they walk out saying, wow, that is exactly what we needed.
So, okay, I don't know as much about yoga. I'm certainly pretty far from an expert. I do know a little bit about mindfulness and the practice. I do think of yoga as a way at getting at some of the practices of mindfulness, taming our monkey minds, bringing our attention back to our breath. How does adding live animals to the practice do that? I mean, is it increasing the level of difficulty, or are you trying to, do a different experience altogether? Take it where you will.
I think that goat yoga is its own entity. I think when people say, oh, I could never get into the mode of thinking or the mindfulness of yoga with a bunch of goats running around, is absolutely true. It's a different type of mindfulness. So you can't compare, it's almost like two different animals. It's another thing. It's almost like two different animals. It's one is goat. I know, I hate it. One is goat yoga, which is one thing, and then the other is yoga. They're two different experiences, because it would be impossible to be mindful in the same way that you would quietly with Zen music playing and incense going, right? Although we do burn some incense in the barn, it helps. And so that is, to compare the two, they're not the same thing. They really aren't. It's using yoga and animal therapy together to create its own entity, is the way I feel.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about what happens when you combine goats and yoga to create what's turned into a bucket list item for some people. It's goat yoga. We're talking about it with Ellen Ballou, who co-owns a farm that specializes in offering goat yoga classes. What got you into this?
Well, it's funny, we first started this farm thinking I was going to be this therapeutic farm. And I said, I'm going to buy this farm, I'm going to turn it into therapy. I have a passion for women in recovery. I was like, that's what I'm going to do. And then goat yoga started. A woman out in Oregon, I believe, 2017, started this. And someone said, why don't you try some goat yoga? It would be kind of cool. You have goats. And I had just gotten goats. And I said, sure, I'll try this for the season, see what happens, and then I'll get back to my therapy goal. Well, it was a way to put myself on the map for sure. But 7 years later, after many, many people walking out going, wow, that was incredibly therapeutic, I kind of giggled to myself going, I know, kind of the goal, but didn't know that that was going to be my medium, my mode of therapy to start. And so, goat yoga, that I thought was just going to be a trend, 7 season later, is still, I sell out almost every class. And it has been a major part of what we do. I am finally back to a therapeutic, some of my therapeutic goals. I'm partnering with some other therapists and psychologists that are using our animals during therapy sessions. And I am so excited to do that. But goat yoga, I believe, I didn't know it at the time, has become a part that's going to stay on our farm, I think, until it burns itself out. And I'm not seeing it burning itself out anytime soon. Like I said, I think it's its own type of exercise and therapy.
This question may sound facile, and I really don't mean it to, but are there other sorts of animals that might be suitable for this sort of experience? Why goats, right? Could it be sows or puppies or who knows what?
Sure. And I've seen everything. I've seen kitten yoga and bunny yoga and lamb yoga. And yes, I think it can be done with a lot. Why I think goats work maybe a little better at times is their playfulness. They have a natural playfulness to them. So I think that's part of what works. They also, from a safety standpoint, they only have teeth in the front of their mouth on the bottom, but not on top. So there's nothing they can really bite, although they love nibbling on hair and clothes. But the only time they can cut anything is with the back of their mouth. So they are kind of safe from a mouth standpoint, if that makes sense, where bunnies, anyone of us have ever been around a bunny, they can bite. And then this is one of the most asked questions, so I'm going to address it now, is poop and pee. So goats have nice little round poo berries, as do rabbits, right? And so we call them poo berries out here, and we don't apologize for them. It's part of the experience. Goats have no control. It's one of the most asked questions, will they poo or pee on me? And my answer is always maybe. And it's not always likely, but it does happen.
I understand there's even a t-shirt.
I was going to say, out here at the farm, you win a free t-shirt. I instruct anyone. I say, we don't apologize for it. We don't act like it's a bad thing. Sometimes I tell people it's a blessing. I don't know if they believe me or not. But it's part of the experience. And so goat poop, especially baby goats, it's very small, where some animals, it's significant, right? It's a significant amount of pee or poo. As crazy as that sounds, that adds to the convenience of using goats. And they just naturally love to jump on people because they're natural climbers. So that's another thing.
Well, we are coming to the end of our time together. We've milked all the puns we can for this.
Oh, boy.
So there's an event at the library tomorrow I mentioned. If someone's interested in doing this either there or maybe just at some point in the future, what would you tell them?
Well, I would love for them to go to my website, which is blueskyfarmgoatyoga.com. My Facebook page, I post anything that's up and coming at Blue Sky Farm Goat Yoga on my Facebook page, as well as my Instagram, the same handle. And I have 26 classes, I think, planned out here in Sugar Grove for this season. People also do private parties and they can call me to schedule that. And then private cuddles are also available online where they can come and cuddle for an hour.
Ellen Ballou co-owns Blue Sky Farms. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing goat yoga with us today on the 21st show.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. You can find a link to some of what we've been talking about, past segments to share with people you think might be interested. It's all at our website, 21stshow.org. We've got all the ways to contact us there, our voicemail line, our email address, which is talk@21stshow.org, our texting group number. You can sign up for that on our website. And you can find links to our podcasts, all at 21stshow.org. You can also look us up on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen. Coming up on Monday's show, many people who are trans are also Christian, and they have to live with conflicts between their identity and their faith. We'll talk about how people in the community and some Illinois churches are navigating those currents. That's coming up Monday on the 21st show, which is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Damian Contreras. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again on Monday.